All right, well, let me move on over to the Right Side Way monologue. I'll start off, as always, reminding you guys that the Right Side Way monologue is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, attorney at the partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee in Huntsville, and I'll tell you more about him in just a moment, but he's your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. All right, so here's the thing. As I was thinking about what I was going to say today, I couldn't help but think, well, Christmas is upon us, right? 'Tis the season, my friends, and Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's say that right up front. But the gift-giving and the gatherings, those are a part of it as well. I mean, those are moments that too often overshadow the real reason, but I don't believe that they offend God as long as we keep our real focus on Him. But as a kid, though, I'll tell you, as a kid, Christmas was just magical. It was, you know, a time when you got gifts. I mean, you'd wake up on a certain morning with no school and a lighted Christmas tree, and there'd be things wrapped in paper and laid out around the tree. It was epic. I know for a fact that one year I know I heard reindeer on the roof. I was sure of it. And one of my favorite things was putting together the wish list. So that reminded me when I started thinking of that, that my granny and granddaddy on my dad's side, they lived a very simple life on a steelworker's pension in an older part of West Birmingham. And every year, Granny had the Sears and Roebuck Christmas Wish Catalog, an actual physical catalog for those of y'all out there who've never done anything but internet shopping, a physical catalog that came to the house, the Sears and Roebuck Christmas Wish Catalog. It came out in early fall. The grandkids, we were supposed to pore through it and pick 2 to 3 things that we would like, and we were supposed to circle it, put our names by it, and then we'd dog-ear the pages, and then we had no idea about them, by the way, that Granny and Granddaddy didn't have much money. They didn't. One of those circled and marked wish list selections, though, always showed up. It was special. At our house these days, Christmas is certainly a special day, but it's also almost grown into a season. I mean, we celebrate the birth of Jesus on that special day we call Christmas. But our family's a bit spread out, and our son and daughter-in-law and our perfect grandkids, they come into town from out of state the day after Christmas. Both our kids are now married, so we have to recognize that we're sharing time with the in-laws as well. Like I said, it's a whole season now. Charlene and I, we wound up last year, for the first time ever, we had just a quiet Christmas Eve together, decided to open presents from one another by ourselves so we could focus on everyone else later. I was pretty excited, by the way, about my shopping efforts. At least I was until she opened some of them. I mean, when you celebrated 37 Christmases together, you kind of get to where you can read the signs, right? The slightly raised eyebrows, the slower-than-usual removal from the package, the effort not to wrinkle or muss the packaging since it may be going back to the store it came from. So, now sometimes I nail it, right? But all those slim margins of shopping victory do is just serve to give me false sense of confidence for future shopping. I mean, I'm generally pretty good at it, I think, but when I get it wrong, man, I really get it wrong. So somewhere along the way, Charlene and I, we worked out a pretty good system. Every year, she not only sends me her wish list, but she also sends it to me in an email complete with links to where I can find it along with sizes and colors. It's perfect. It's a huge boost. It serves to almost guarantee she's going to get something she actually wants. I just click on the links, sort the items into my cart, give some anonymous retailer my credit card information, the gifts magically appear for me to wrap, place under the tree like I really done something. But of course, there was that one year. That year when, unbeknownst to me, I did not notice that something was amiss until my daughter and my wife began to unwrap their presents on Christmas Eve and they were all exactly the same. Like, right down to the colors and the sizes. Well, it turns out I did not realize that when Charlene sent me her list, I was looking at the wrong part of it and I shopped off of Caitlin, my daughter's list. Me being the awful man shopper that I am, I just ordered everything on my daughter's list for my wife. Awesome. So yes, now I verify, and I even double verify, that the list does indeed appear to be for the lovely Charlene before I click the Buy Now button. But if you've listened to me enough, you might have figured out that I'm a bit on the headstrong side, right? Kind of type A. Well, I'm type A with my shopping too. I like to know that I've contributed in some meaningful way to my wife's Christmas joy. And that, my friends, is what we at the Williams House like to call freelancing. Yeah! That moment when I get off the wish list and I see a good idea that I think I need to chase, that's called my freelance shopping. That moment when I stray from the good list and take a chance that some other thing that I have a notion about might be a good one. Maybe this is the year where one of the things that I freelanced into the gift pile is the one. The present of presents that brings a look to her face that I've seen before, oh, I don't know, maybe a couple of times in 38 years of marriage. a mix of wonder, surprise, and delight, a bit of awe that I could think for myself and buy something she didn't even know she wanted. And because I'm an awesome husband and a prolific shopper and I can freelance shop like nobody's business, last year was no different. Charlene's sure thing list last year was complete, and so began the freelancing. And I was delighted to find that the favorite online store where she loves to shop had all kinds of new ways of helping husbands like me do a better job. So after making one of the can't-miss purchases that Charlene actually asked for, I noticed at the bottom of the page it said something like, "Because you bought this one, you'll love that one," followed by an actual suggestion of other things that my wife of 37 years would be sure to love. Clothes, shoes, accessories. It was a revelation. I could freelance without really freelancing. I could safely purchase a few extra items, be the hero of Christmas, as she sat back in awe of the man she loved, who could buy as if it were the sweet little woman doing the shopping all by herself. So yeah, about that. The shoes were kind of nice, but they were the wrong size. The pants almost got a snicker as she looked at me when she opened it like she thought she might have had somebody else's gift. And the extra blouse that she didn't have on her list that I thought was kind of cool, well, she's a Southern lady and she almost said, "Bless your heart," but she held back. But I will say this, I can wrap presents like no other man I know. And yes, I kept all the receipts. I've learned a little something over the last 38 Christmases, and keeping the receipts is something that I learned the hard way. I always keep the receipts. Okay, so the bottom line is this might be a weird take on things, but here's the deal. Here's my point. It occurred to me in the aftermath of my freelancing last year, what a blessing it is that I can be a bad shopper. I know it sounds weird, but it's true. It's an absolute blessing to know that I live in a nation where the choices are out there for gift giving that are so prolific, so abundant, that there are probably more chances to get it wrong than there are to get it right. I mean, think about that. We live in a place where the average Walmart carries more daily stock than whole sections of some countries even have. You can go to one place, you can buy everything from apples and baked goods and cowboy hats to xylophones and yogurt and Zinfandel wine in a box. It's true. You spend one day in some foreign countries, you quickly come to know that America is a land flowing with milk and honey. So much so that we often take it for granted. So yes, there is an abundance of choices when it comes to gift giving. But then there's the personal side of it. See, Charlene and I, we're not rich, but I'm aware that we are blessed. So much so that I can actually be a bad shopper. And last year, after she opened my freelance gifts, and I sulked a bit because I thought sure I'd gotten it right and turned out I didn't, then the fact became known to my mind that I didn't feel compressed. I didn't feel weighed down about being a bad shopper. Because I could remember back when we were newlyweds, and I didn't have the luxury of being a bad shopper back then. We were poor as church mice, and every dime counted. You didn't take a chance on getting it wrong. You paid careful attention to the sizes. You called the mother-in-law to ask for advice. You thought twice before you did any freelancing. For so many of our Merry Christmases, we were not in a position for Phil to do anything but a perfect job at gift-giving. That's back when we had to work on a much stricter budget, putting aside money in envelopes to make sure we didn't overspend, focusing on the kids first and making sure they had no clue that times were tight. Was I a better steward back then? I don't know, maybe. But I also recognize that the stewardship of the past has yielded the blessing of grown-up kids now who never went without, and a table that always had food on it, and a gratefulness now that is far deeper, and I would not trade it for the world. So yeah, I'm not always a great shopper. I know it. My freelancing doesn't always pay off the way I want it to. But in reflection, I'll work to tighten that up a bit. But somehow or other, I also take that to mean that I am very, very blessed, and I know it, because sometimes bad shopping is a sign of big blessing. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.